Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
Heart. It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng and I'm with you up until 3 o'clock right here on 657 AM on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We are also live on DSTV Audio Channel 882. We are also on Open View on 607. We are also on www.radiopulpit.co.za. And that's where you can find us. You can also download our app and start listening to us. Give you the sounds of Rhema Worship, but Never Stop Chasing. And that's how we're saying hello to you on this awesome holiday. And talking about Never Stop Chasing, I have a beautiful queen on the line with me because his love never stops chasing. It never stops chasing. It continues. Yeah, we are at the end of the Easter month. We are at the end of the Passover month, but his love continues to chase after you and I. And I'm talking to Pastor Khabo. I'm talking to Pastor Pepi Sile Khabo. My queen, how are you?
I am good. Good afternoon.
You know, today.
And good afternoon to the Radio Pulpit family.
I was looking at my guests today and I'm like, okay, the first girl is Pastor Pepi Sile Khabo Zotetsi. And then the second one is Khabo Harriet Ngwebe. I'm like, I went to India and I'm going to go today.
There's power.
Yeah, there is. There's an anointing, a Khabo anointing somewhere there. So we're talking about his love chasing. I love that song because it says, your love never stop chasing. Some of us, his love started chasing us even when we didn't know him as Lord and Savior, when we didn't even recognize him. His love started chasing us and he's still chasing even today. And David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, that you would also visit him? So he even visits. Even when you are not, but the Lord comes through. So we're talking salvation because of that love that never stops chasing.
Yes, we're talking salvation. We are taking it back to the basics. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. So the beauty about this chasing is that you have an opportunity to either accept or decline.
It's up to you.
You know, you have an opportunity to either accept or decline this call, this chasing that the Lord has brought before you. Salvation to me, Spongida, refers to the belief that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross was the ultimate price for the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption of all humanity. And one of the reasons we are tackling this topic is because often people consider the Easter month as an opportunity to maybe have conferences that are nice, that are on fire. Some people, it's a holiday moment. But the important thing about this month is that, or that season of Easter, is that without repentance and confession and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, the work of Calvary will not work for you. There's a song that I love. It says, "Liyabasebenzela abalikholwayo." You know? So I just want to touch base on a few things around this topic of salvation, the ultimate price that Jesus saved to forgive us, to redeem us from sin or from the consequences of sin. You know, at one, I want us to look into the fact that when we speak redemption using the death of Jesus Christ, redemption is a payment that redeems, the payment that we could not afford even if we had all the money on earth. Meaning, on its own, it's a gift that is above our own abilities. So such gifts cannot be taken for granted. So when you have been redeemed, there's an expectation that you must behave like someone who has bought. You know, if I buy a washing machine, when it gets to my house, I have full ownership. I decide what to do with it. Where it came from, it was maybe displayed. But when it comes to my house, it needs to function. There are things, there are benefits that I must get from that which I have purchased. And that's the expectation of Jesus. When he saves us, we come into salvation to bear fruit, to be useful, to be dependable, to be beneficial, to the kingdom of God. The same way, if you remained in the kingdom of darkness, you would continue to sin, you would continue to spread evil, you would continue to recruit others. There's an expectation that when you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you need to function and you need to be fruitful, useful to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. Second to that, it's the issue of what is the significance of this salvation. The most important thing is that salvation gives us eternal life. It unlocks eternal life. It moves us from darkness to light. But if we claim to be saved and we continue to live in darkness, then we have not been saved. When we are saved, we cannot continue to be tormented by the things of darkness. If you find yourself being lukewarm, that's what Jesus said. If you are lukewarm, I will cut you off. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, either in or out.
If you are lukewarm, you must go for counseling or you must go for altar calls. So salvation is a decision that you take and you don't look back. And it's important for the body of Christ to realize that we access this forgiveness by repenting. So you can be taken to court for whatever you have done at the time. But there's also a question of, are you guilty or not guilty? So we have a responsibility to be people that repent on a daily basis for the sins that we are aware of and the sins that we are not aware of. Otherwise, then, the whole event of Calvary, Golgotha, the whole season of Easter, will be in vain if we are not reminded of these key things that I'm talking about this afternoon. The Bible then records a story about a man called Simeon. The Bible says the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he will not die until he sees Jesus. Then now, when Jesus was born, Simeon then was led by the Spirit of God to go to the temple where Jesus was. Then the Bible records that Simeon got there and he said, "Father, now your servant can die in peace because I have seen salvation." So it doesn't say I've seen the baby or I've seen Jesus. So it's important for us to understand the death of Christ, not only in the physical, but only in the spiritual.
Right.
Because physically, it was a boy child that was born. Physically, it was a boy child that Simeon needed to see.
Yeah.
But spiritually, it was a whole different scenario. And that is exactly what this is. We cannot look at the Easter month or the Easter season or Easter weekend as something that reminds us of the physical death and the physical activities that happened. He was pierced, he was bruised, he was beaten, people were swearing at him and all those things. But we fail to grasp the spiritual scenario. That what is it that Jesus really did by being beaten? What is it that Jesus really achieved by the pain that he had to endure on the cross? So we have a responsibility to see him not just as the baby Jesus, like Simeon. Simeon says, "I have seen salvation." He saw salvation, not a boy, not a child, not an infant, not an ordinary baby that was born. At the time, it was normal for baby boys to be presented in the temple. You know, it was a normal thing. But when the man came, he says, "I have seen salvation." Is salvation what we see when we think of the work of the cross? Is salvation what we see when we think of the event that took place in Golgotha? Is salvation what we see? What is our definition of salvation? Which is what I have just explained now, that it is the redemption of sins or of humanity, and it is the forgiveness of sin. So that's what we must see when we think of the message of the cross. Hence the Bible says it is foolishness. It is the power of God to those who believe, but it is foolishness to the people that don't believe. So it is important for the body of Christ to see salvation and to understand it for what it is, to see the redemption of our sins and understand it for what it is, and see it as a spiritual transaction that happened, where I was hopeless, where I had no eternity as God intended, where my life is cut short, where darkness will torment me forever, and Jesus comes to turn all that around. But without repentance, and believing and confessing, we will not access that which salvation intends for us.
My queen, you mentioned something about, you took us back to the word where Jesus Christ talks about you neither being lukewarm, I mean, nor cold nor hot. You are lukewarm, then I'll spew you out. How do we define the scripture, that part where Jesus Christ is talking about one who's lukewarm? When we say somebody is lukewarm within within the kingdom, what are we referring to?
We're referring to somebody who's got double standards. Somebody who, in terms of, it could be in two ways. In terms of your actions, you are a believer in our eyes, right? Like the tree that Jesus spoke about that looked like it had, it looked like it had fruit, but when he got close to it, he
there
could
was
not
none.
Benefit from it, which is the example I gave that, if you are purchased, you are purchased for a reason to come back and function and be beneficial to the owner. So when you are lukewarm, you are someone with double standards. On the outside, it's a coconut scenario. On the outside, you are brown. On the inside, you are white. So there are people like that. And the reason for that is because we have not fully believed. We've not reached, our minds refuse to comprehend the work of Calvary. A lukewarm person is someone that will surprise you. One minute, I saw something on TikTok where somebody said, you are allowed to leave church and go get yourself beer after service, you know. And people use that video to make their own videos where a person shows themselves dressed up for church, and then they show themselves later after church, how they look, you know. When a person is lukewarm, it's someone who's indecisive. You want this thing, but there are things you are holding on to. You have the passion to serve the Lord, but you still come back. You have the passion for other things. You have a heart for this thing. You have a balanced appetite.
So
you want both.
So we have to be
able to, because.
So does it mean that we have to be like David, who would do something and run back to the Lord and say, I have sinned. I have done wrong. And repent from...
And that's where the power of the cross is. When people repent, even God cannot, or Jesus Christ cannot represent you before the Lord unless you repent. And this repentance is not a once-off event that you get to do because there's a crusade somewhere and a pastor has called you to come to the front to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a daily living. It's something that you have to do, even if you are aware of the sins you've committed or not, or sins that other people committed on your behalf, because it's possible. Remember, we are attached to generations. We are attached to lineages. We are attached to parents. We are attached to communities of people. So there are sins that are community-based. There are sins that are country-based. There are sins that are family-based or bloodline-based. So we have to repent daily because we need this access on a daily basis. So there's no day where we can go to the Lord without repenting. Every day when we come before God, we need to repent because it's through repentance that we have access to this salvation. So unless we repent, then we will have those double standards. In our minds, we are born again. In our minds, we are serving in the church. But the Lord sees the lip service. The Lord sees people that have eyes but cannot see, people that have ears but cannot hear, people that are not even sure what time it is according to God's time, you know. So the lukewarm element comes in when we don't live by the full rules of salvation, which is total repentance on daily basis. We all think we've got this, but we've fallen short of the glory and we don't know.
Are we able to walk this journey of salvation on our own? Are we able to pull it together and be who we are supposed to be, function, being useful, fruitful, beneficial for the kingdom on our own?
We are not able to do it on our own, and hence it was important for Jesus when he departed, he released a very important statement where he said, I am not leaving you alone, but I leave you with the Holy Spirit, your helper. And he continues to say, he's the one that will remind you of all the things that I have taught you. Because according to Jesus, it's almost impossible for us to remember everything that he taught. But the Spirit, which is part of the Trinity, he has an ability to store all the teachings, all the rules, all the kingdom principles and protocols, systems and processes. I was so blessed in the past weekend where our theme for Easter was the courts of heaven. And the speaker that we had was demonstrating how the court system is run versus God's courts. And he was saying, unless, he says a judge cannot represent your case unless he receives the docket from the advocate. So he says, now, if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, even if you pray endlessly, if there's no docket that you hand to Jesus Christ, which must go to the court of heaven where it will be brought before the Lord on your behalf, where Jesus advocates for you, then your case cannot be heard because there won't be any docket. So unless there's a representation of you through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then you are not counted or you are not visible, you are not seen. So we cannot walk the walk of salvation on our own without the Holy Spirit, number one,
mm-hmm.
without Jesus Christ, which is the Word, which is our daily bread, daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It is our daily bread that we need to eat, and it connects us because it's through the Holy Spirit that the Scripture will be meaningful, that the Scripture will be active and live and influence our actions, our thoughts, our speech, our walk, and our understanding. So we cannot do the salvation work without the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
And we access the Holy Spirit through prayer, through meditation. We have to be intentional about spending time with him so that he can know us. And once he knows us, when he has a relationship with us, he's able to intercede for us.
Hmm.
And Jesus Christ then becomes the advocate of man.
Hmm.
But it has to be a relationship. No one shows up in court without meeting their own advocate, meeting their own representatives. You know, you don't just show up. There's this access that we say we have, the curtain was torn. It's through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the help of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who knows the heart and the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says.
I can hear somebody saying, I'm struggling. I find myself going forward and then coming back, going forward and coming back. Does it mean that I haven't received the salvation that you're talking about, Muruti? Does it mean something is wrong with me?
Yes. A very common question that people ask, that people struggle with. The issue of being saved, the biggest struggle that we all have as human beings is to choose between the flesh and the spirit man. And it is unfortunate that we are made to believe that the flesh is stronger than the spirit man. And the Bible says that what shall it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We gain the world by feeding the flesh, by going for what the flesh demands of us, by following the direction of the flesh most of the time, whether it's through fashion, whether it's through things that makes us feel good and feel accepted and feel recognized, that's how we gain the world. But the spirit man is a gentle spirit, which you have a responsibility as a believer. My belief is that when you receive Christ, the work is not done. You don't just say, I'm born again, amen, and you go home. Hence, the Bible says you must work out
your salvation
in trembling and in fear.
Mm.
Yeah.
Muruti, are you still there? Muruti? Pastor Pepi Sile, are you still there? Okay, let's reconnect with her.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And I'm Sibongile Mofokeng. Gave you two sounds there, two songs from David D. You Are Awesome. And before that, Ntokozo Mbambo, John 3, verses 16. Exactly what we are talking about right here with Pastor Pepi Sile Khabotso Tetsi. And I'm back with her on the line. Ntokozo, you're still there, right? Are you still there, Ntokozo? Welcome back. Welcome back. Ah, you know, technology sometimes it doesn't want a technology. But anyway, we are back with you again. And I was just about to read some of the comments from family members. Yeah, Utobela Matabata said, okay, Tobela, I understand. Yeah, Sizagele, bazongshabazalwani vati power, ayikho ipower lapho. But anyway, we are fixing that. Tinam Kuseli says, thank you so much for the mysteries shared. You are a blessing to the body of Christ, Muruti. And Azwindini Nechibawe says, Nechibambe says, we have to be intentional about spending time with God. Shongotelo Mavunda says, repentance. This is feeling remorseful. Most of us are remorseful and we are not repentful or repentant. We are coming back to that point. Amos ARV Bilankulu says, this is very profound, Pastor P, unpacking mysteries. And he said at the beginning, it wasn't him, it was Shongo Letu. Tebogo Khomotso says, I love this. Our true identity gets demonstrated when we function as he did, according to the word. Sibongile Sibanyoni says, what a blessing you are, Pastor T. Thank you again for the word of God. Lia Pilisa. And thank you so much, family, for joining in and being with us this afternoon. Now, Ndlovukazi, there's that point that... is it Azwindini? No, it's Shongotelo who says repentance versus remorseful. And he says most of us are remorseful and we are not truly repentant. Do we understand repentance? Maybe we don't understand repentance. Maybe we need to get repentance being clarified, what exactly, and defined clearly what it is. Then that would help us.
Yes, thank you, wonderful question. Repenting is turning back to God, still with remorse and regret. But the most important thing about repentance is that you don't just regret or feel the guilt, you turn. It's a complete 360 turn. You drop it at the throne and you don't look back. So when a person is remorseful, some people can be remorseful and it just ends with being remorseful. You can be guilty and it ends with being guilty. You can say, I apologize, and it just ends there, but you have the ability or the desire to do it again. So when a person repents, they are expected not to go back to that which they said they regret doing. And that is the difference. So we have to understand that repentance, it's turning. You know, when you turn, it means you're no longer looking at the direction you were looking at. You've changed the direction and you looked towards God and you said, Lord, this is what I have done and I lay it all on the cross. Mm-hmm. As soon as you leave that space, that sin has no hold over you. That sin has no access over you.
I've heard something
Because the reality...
I've heard something like... even when you are going through something, like you want to sin. Let me put it as bluntly as that. You want to sin.
Yes.
You feel like sinning.
Yes.
This is what you want to do. And somebody says, as soon as you, what do we call it again? As soon as you feel like that and then you tell someone, you open up about it to someone, then that's when you have defeated that sin. How true is that?
I would say it's true, because remember, when you go through, emotions are in your soul. Emotions affect the mind, the body, how you feel. So when the body is vulnerable, the body can only desire what's fulfilling or beneficial for the body. There's no way the body can desire spiritual things. That's why when you are hurting, you want to sleep, you want to eat a lot. Your habits are feeding the flesh more than the spirit. So it's important to render sin powerless by confessing your sins to one another, even when it's still a thought. Rather say, I'm going through so much in my marriage. In fact, I'm no longer attracted to my wife. In fact, I find my PA more appealing these days, because you're going through a season. As soon as you speak it out, you are rendering that sin powerless. Because once it is known, then that person has a responsibility to help you get through it. Hence, the Bible says we must confess our sins to one another. It's not because the friends can forgive us or the people we talk to have the power to forgive us, but they have the power to influence our minds at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. What about somebody, that part that says you have laid it bare in the open, so it cannot hide anymore? It has been exposed, so it's dealt with shamefully like that. How true is that part?
Yes, you know, you just got me thinking. Yes, excuse me. You know, the issue of public sin, or sin that is already exposed, it shames the body, the flesh. You know, people generally, they can sin all their lives for as long as no one finds out. Yeah. Have you seen a person who is sexually active and they keep singing in the worship team? One day they fall pregnant and they stop coming.
Yeah.
But the sinful nature did not start when so the person is ashamed of the visibility of the sin more than the sin itself. So the person that is ashamed is the flesh. It's not the spirit. Because if you could pick up that the spirit is aggrieved, you would have stopped the sin initially.
Yeah.
But you went on to sin because you've given yourself to it. So the power of exposing sin lies in the fact that that act shames the body. It makes the body ukuthi iswabe. And that's what God wants from us. When you sin, melu swabe. You must be ashamed of yourself. You must be ashamed. You must feel like, even if I stand in the pulpit and what I've done, no one knows about it. You must feel like we know about it. You must feel like it's on the news already.
Yeah.
And that's where we have the power to conquer sin. And it's a very important element to say, people would say, why when a young girl is pregnant in the traditional churches, they are told to sit down, or they're stopped from their duties and all that. They're trying to teach your body to shun evil. They're trying to teach your body to be ashamed of what does not look good in the eyes of God. Because the body finds joy in things that are contrary to what is pleasing to the Lord.
Sure.
Yeah.
And would I be correct then to say, through the help of the Lord Holy Spirit, you will definitely win?
Definitely. We win. And that's the whole purpose of the grace of God. It has appeared to all men because it is the will of God for all men to be saved. So this salvation did not come for a certain class or for people that have too much discipline. You know, banally that, yeah, discipline. God will. It's all he wants is for us to be repentant. Just repent. You don't need to have the highest discipline, but be like David. You know, David had a lot of flaws, but God still referred to him as the man after his own heart.
Yeah.
Because the flesh of David would shrink whenever he has not done right. So David was able to do things that are so scary that as a person with a relationship with God is not expected to do. And David would know immediately that I have sinned before God and his people. But many of us, maybe we only care about sinning before people, and we don't care much about sinning before God. Mm-hmm. And that's where we miss it, because then we rely on, when will people catch me? When will people know about it? But what about the one who is unseen, the one who's able to destroy both, to kill both the spirit and the body? You know,
before you go, because time is not, maybe I will keep you even up until after 2 o'clock, just so we can make sure that we get this right. So many people would refer to a challenge in our spiritual journeys to the thorn that Paul was talking about. That I would always go back to the Lord and say, I have sinned again. I can't. I don't know how to come out of there. Lord, help me. And so every type of sin, we would compare it with the thorn. Is that how it is? Is it the thorn? Or sin is sin. The thorn is a different thing altogether. Because there are those of us who are even ashamed of what we are doing, and but we go to the Lord over and over, we falter and fall over and over and over and over.
When we are like that, we are refusing to change. We still choose our flesh above the will of God. I do not believe that Corinthians 12, the story about the thorn in Paul's flesh, refers to sin. Paul refers to something that troubles you, which sin cannot be something that troubles you. Sin is a choice you make. If someone says, come to my house now, and they are male and I'm female, what comes to my mind? And what I love about God is that before we sin, we have an opportunity to make a choice. There's always that small voice that says, this does not look right. But we still continue to do it because our bodies are louder than our spirit man. And it goes back to, who do you feed the most? Before the temptation, is your spirit man filled with the word? Because the Bible says you must first submit to God, then you'll be able to resist the devil, then he shall flee. You will not resist the devil if you are not submitted to the Lord. If your day does not start in prayer, if your day does not start in reading and speaking the word, and then you think if you meet temptation at 2 o'clock in the day, you'll just resist the devil and he shall flee. He will not flee, unfortunately. So it boils back to us submitting or empowering our spirit man more than our flesh, so that our decisions are not based on the flesh. Because the flesh will always want what is beneficial to it, and so does the spirit.
And the flesh that really screams, eh?
Yes. And so we cannot say, I struggle with alcohol. It's not a struggle, because there are days where you are sober. So before you get drunk, you decide to buy alcohol. You become a product of your own decision.
Yeah.
So the problem is not the alcohol. The problem is your mind giving you options. So your mind, because based on how you empower it, it will present options that are available, stored in your thoughts, to say, this is what makes you feel better, because that's what the mind knows. You have not said to the mind, when we are weak, we go to church to pray. Because if that was what you used to do, the mind will remind you that. The mind will say, I think we should go and pray. It's too much now. But if the mind is used to us going to drink when it's too much, that's the memory that will come out. Hence, we rely on the spirit, on the Holy Spirit, because he has the ability to remind us of important things in different times of our lives. So it boils back to what you feed your spirit, what you feed your mind. Are you submitted to God? If you are not, you will definitely, so you cannot call it a weakness when it's an act that is based on decision making, then maybe the prayer must change to God, I submit my mind to you.
All right.
So that then this mind is connected to the will of God.
Then it means we shouldn't forget this is war. We are at war.
Yes. Between the flesh and the spirit man.
All righty then.
So there's two people.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. The last one, Muruti, let's come back with you after the 2 o'clock news bulletin and just wrap it up nicely.
Thank you.
All right. Taking the sounds of Sisi Winans, reminding us that we are at war. Waging War is the title of the song.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Songs of Life.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.